This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
Thank you for joining us at 7. It was once known as California's toughest state prison, home to some of the state's most notorious criminals. But San Quentin is now undergoing a major transformation. Its death row now being emptied out, with more than 400 of its condemned inmates being transferred to other prisons. So it's all part of a larger effort to shift the focus from punishment to rehabilitation and offer more job training, education, and skills to get inmates ready for life outside the walls of prison. And while there may be some skepticism about this model, one former gang member says he is proof that it works. Our Kenny Choi brings us the story of Eddie, who found his passion for photography behind bars. His work was even featured in Rolling Stone magazine.
Eddie Herrera spent nearly 15 years in prison, convicted of various crimes, including second-degree murder.
I just have to look at my life and reflect on the things that I did, you know, in the past, and I did a lot of ugly stuff.
The San Jose native became entrenched in gang life as a teenager, but while serving a lifetime sentence at San Quentin Prison, he found the beauty of photography through its art program.
Once the camera was put in my hand, I just realized, man, I really like this. I don't want to do nothing else.
The now 41-year-old poured his energy behind bars into his newfound passion. Some of his work was published in magazines, including Rolling Stone.
I'm in prison doing a life sentence, and my picture's in a popular magazine.
His work, along with those of 9 other formerly incarcerated men at San Quentin, is being featured at the Belvedere Tiburon Library Art Gallery this spring. Curator and co-chair Lucy Churton spearheaded the effort to showcase and sell their art.
So exciting to tell them that their artwork was sold on our first day.
The funds will help them pursue their passion, pay some bills, and continue their transition into a post-prison world.
This show is really cool because it showcases how the formerly incarcerated were able to really transform their lives through art.
As Herrera dove deeper into his passion for photography working for the San Quentin News, he severed all ties to gang life, not knowing if that move could cost him his own life too.
I just knew I had to make that stand, and I made this stand and just was going to deal with the consequences. And so that was the stress part. I just didn't know what was going to happen.
He has found much more to live for in the 6 years since being granted parole. Adeline, his only daughter, is 4 years old.
I love her to death, man. She's we're buddies, you know. This world is crazy. This world is, you know, it can be cruel sometimes, a lot of times, actually. So, you know, I just wanted to teach her, you know, just to be kind, respectful.
Herrera earned various degrees in prison. He's now studying photography and working for a nonprofit in the East Bay that helps homeless women.
I feel like something's watching over me, man. Thank God, man.
He's engaged to be married this fall.
I don't deserve any of this. I just feel like doors continue to open for me.
That's a reason to smile. A life transformed and recaptured through the beauty of art and the will to change.
Nice story, Kenny. And Herrera also appeared in the award-winning documentary, The Prison Within. You can see his photographs at the Tiburon Library through the second week of June. Now to our weather, shall we? A clear day today. Wasn't it nice? After the Bay Area got a good soaking over the weekend, and it wasn't just in our region. The storm brought record snow to the Sierra. According to the UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab, yesterday was the snowiest day of the season. The area recorded over 2 feet of snow. Paul Hagan is here now with more on these unusual winter-like conditions in May.
Yeah, Jules, Saturday felt more like the middle of January as opposed to early May, completely with that rain that made its way across the Bay Area. Most of us picked up a half an inch to an inch of total rainfall, but these are some of the higher amounts recorded on Saturday. Just over an inch of rain around Menlo Park, same thing for Dublin. The amounts go up as we go up the list here, just short of 2 inches of total rainfall in the higher elevations of the Santa Cruz Mountains around Ben Lomond. About 9/10 of an inch of rain fell in downtown San Francisco, just building on the surplus that we were already running to this point in the rainy season. That rain that we had on Saturday was almost enough to erase the very slight deficit that we've been running in Livermore, but still 98% of average rainfall. We can definitely handle that to this point in the water year. No rain chances in the forecast as we look at the extended data or even the 2-week outlook. It's very dry, and warmer temperatures are going to be taking back over beginning tomorrow with return to near normal high temperatures in the 60s around the bay and the 70s inland. But those numbers will be in the 70s and 80s, respectively, by Wednesday and Thursday. Some spots inland even threatening 90 degrees later this week. We'll give details on that warm spell. Might even call it a heat wave here in the middle of May. It's coming up in just a few minutes.
All right, Paul, thank you. It's been 1 year since Antioch launched its first mental health crisis response team. City leaders say it has contributed to an entire year without any in-custody deaths. Our John Ramos got a look at the team in action today.
It's been exactly 1 year since the city of Antioch launched its crisis response team. And while it may be difficult to measure success on something like this, the numbers are looking good. And the most important data point may be the number zero.
Three, two, one. Zero.
That's how many people have died while in police custody since the community response team was created. And Mayor Lamar Hernandez-Thorpe says that's exactly the result he was hoping for.
The first month of my time as mayor of the city of Antioch, I had an in-custody death that led to this. A month after that, we had another in-custody death. And so if we haven't had an in-custody death since we launched this, and so that's a mark of success for me.
To mark the one-year anniversary, the mayor rode along with the team. Their first stop was a strip mall that the crew says generates multiple responses per day. Program manager Nick Jenkins says most of the calls are about nuisances created by homeless people in the area.
All we do is address the situation. Hey, guys, can you turn the music down? Can you move along? And it's either a yes or no, but we approach everybody with the respect that they deserve.
But then a business owner named Tony approached to complain about the lack of response from police and the meager size of the crisis team.
Two people cannot solve this problem. Three people can't solve it. You need more bodies. You need help. I need help. You need help. He needs help.
One of the purposes of the program is to relieve police of non-emergency responses, and the mayor says that's another area of success. Already, the team is taking 500 calls per month, freeing up officers to attend to more serious matters.
Initially, we didn't know if these 911 calls would be coming in readily, but to our surprise, we're getting in, and they're starting to increase. So maybe to that degree, but we knew there was a need. But with our relationship with dispatch is extremely important. And again, 500 calls a month is pretty good, and I expect that to increase.
And now the police are the ones calling in the crisis unit. On this day, they asked for help on Railroad Avenue, where they were trying to get a group of homeless campers to leave.
We're trying to do everything we can to get them to daycare.
So the team first approached the campers just to talk, and later offered them water and snacks. The idea is to act as a go-between, calming situations down to prevent a more aggressive reaction from either the subjects or the police.
They rely on us, the PD, as much as we rely on them. So it's a support issue everywhere.
So it's been a good working relationship?
Yes, it's a great working relationship with the PD.
The mayor believes the program is working, but the initial $1 million of funding, a grant from the federal government, is running out.
Funding is going to have to come from somewhere to keep it going, and if it means we have to restructure the budget, we'll do that.
He says for now he intends to ask the city council to allocate the money to continue and expand the response team in order to prevent a crisis from becoming a tragedy.
Antioch's community response team is named for Angelo Quinto, a young man who was killed after police were called in to deal with his mental health crisis. Universities here in the Bay Area are working to resolve campus protests over the war between Israel and Hamas. At San Francisco State, an unprecedented sit-down between administration and protesters. Students are asking for the disclosure and divestment of CSU funds to Israel. The moderated negotiations are the first of their kind, and the university's president says she's taking it seriously.
If democracy's messy, it's ugly, it can be really conflict-ridden. If it can't play out on a university campus, then the U.S. is doomed.
Student protesters say while negotiations continue, the encampment in the middle of campus will remain. Both sides say the timeline is unclear on when a resolution will be reached. Celebrations in Gaza after Hamas has announced it has agreed to a ceasefire proposal from Egypt and Qatar. The latest framework calls for the release of 33 hostages over several weeks in exchange for a temporary ceasefire. But Israel said the deal did not meet its demands and that it will continue conducting strikes in Rafah. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken delivered a keynote speech at the RSA Cybersecurity Conference in San Francisco. He spoke about the Biden administration's new international cyberspace and digital policy strategy. Blinken did not address the war in Gaza.